phone workers can have about 50 key customers. That's it. Could you have 52?
Sure.
Okay, you could probably have 52. It's not the end of the world. Could you have 1,000? You can't. No. It's like having 1,000 girlfriends, you know. It's just not going to work. It's not going to work. You're going to be in all kinds of trouble. And you're not going to be doing any business, I'll tell you. That's for sure. So we want to have a manageable number of accounts so that we can continue to call them. Cycle call them is the term. We want to call them back, and we want to keep coming back, calling them, and you just can't do that. Now, these 50 customers can be changing all the time because you can come to a dead end with one. You say, hey, I'm bunk, getting this one out of here and replacing it with another. Pick accounts where you have a turning point. What's a turning point, Garrett? I doubt that you would know, not to besmirch you, but I'll bet you.
Changing something in their company, and they need someone new to come in.
No. Could be, but that's not what I'm thinking of. And that could be, but Susan, what do you think is a turning point?
They're looking for a supplier, or they received a new machine from our standpoint. So that machine.
Well, that certainly would be a turning point. Yes. But here's a turning point. I was dealing with a customer, and they wanted me to go down to someplace in southern Ohio and do a custom program, which means I'm going to be on the road, a lot of traveling, and you know. And I was talking to a guy and told him how much it would be. And, you know, he was saying, oh, you know, I'd get it at half the price from somebody else, and, you know, this and that. And so we were in this negotiation thing. And so I said, well, let me send you this and that. So, you know, I was just sending him stuff, you know, like, because I don't rather lower the price. I tell him, well, let me send you some stuff. So I started sending him stuff. And then that gets me off the hook. I don't have to reduce the price, and I can continue to contact them with more information or whatever. So anyhow, after, I'm going to say, 5 phone calls, and they called me, okay? They called me. After 5 phone calls back and forth with the owner of the company, I was just mentioning, well, I'm going to be in Ireland next week, so I won't be able to do that. And he said, oh, Ireland, no kidding. You're going to Ireland? And I said, yeah. I said, I'm Irish, and I'm going to go over to Ireland. Yeah. So he goes, no kidding. Whereabouts are you going to go? So then, you know, the guy was really interested in Ireland. Comes to find out, this guy is from Ireland, and, you know, he had no accent at all. And, you know, I was going to be in his hometown, you know, which was, and I don't even remember, but Killarney, I think. He was going to be near Killarney someplace, and I was going to be over there. And now I was drunk most of the time, was over there, inebriated, I guess the word, you know, Irish whiskey or whatever, you know. And I don't drink anymore, so I'm out of that, hopefully. And but anyhow, I spent a lot of time, I don't remember everything, but I had a great time over in Ireland. But the point I'm making here is when I was talking to this guy about being in Ireland, and he was from Ireland, and if come to find out, Killarney was where his relatives were from, gave me the name of some people, I told my contact and all this kind of stuff. That was it. That was a turning point. After that, the guy scheduled a program and never talked to me about the price again. It was just like, hey, if I'm from Ireland, I can't be all bad, you know? And if I'm going over there, that makes me even better. And that was a turning point. Turning points can also occur when somebody needs something and you help them. And you know it, you can feel it when there's a turning point. You know, they're under the gun and you do something out of the ordinary. Like, for example, you know, you have the number of the helicopter service. You call the helicopter service and get that all straightened out and, you know, get the whole deal and, you know, show them how, you know, it's 5 o'clock, you're supposed to go home at 4:30, and you're still on the phone trying to find this guy, you know, a helicopter to get him the parts. You're going to drive it to, you're personally going to take it out of stock, take it over to the helicopter and get it on the way to him. You know, that would be a turning point. That customer and you have a bond now that will last forever. So those are the accounts that we want to have, that we have a turning point. It can be just that you go camping and they go camping. You got 3 kids and they got 3 kids. You know, there's all different kinds of things. I'll tell you an example of a turning point for me. I was calling an account, and we had never sold these guys much stuff, but they could buy a ton of our stuff. There was a new plant manager that came in from outside. So anytime somebody new comes in, everybody in the plant thinks they should be the plant manager. And how did this guy come in and get the plant manager's job? Well, I'll fix his wagon type. So you got this adversarial attitude going on immediately. So I felt this was an opportunity for me to go and start fresh with somebody new at the top. And so I went into this gentleman and I introduced myself and I said, You know, I've been calling on this place for a couple of years now, and you guys don't buy much of our stuff. You know, you buy mostly other guys' stuff. But I got a pretty good insight to the account, and I have to take you out to lunch and just tell you, you know, about what's going on and so on and so forth. And the guy's, why turn a free lunch down? Sure, let's go. So his car, my car was like 4 miles away because this was a huge factory. You know, you got to go through all these different buildings and stuff. And since he was the plant manager, his office, his car was parked right next to his office. So he said, well, we'll take my car. So I said, great. So we walk out the door, we get in his car, and I look in the back seat, and he's got a tennis racket in the back seat. Well, I used to be a tournament tennis player. So I'm thinking, thank you, Jesus. You know, thank you. He's got a tennis racket in his car. So I started giving him tennis lessons, and his wife would come out, and I would hit balls and help, you know, just help him and his wife work on drills and stuff. We never really played any games. It was just simply lessons. I gave him tennis lessons, and it was once a week.